Okay, well, welcome everyone. This is Dr. Hedberg. Welcome to the Dr. Hedberg Show. And today we're going to be talking about osteoporosis and how to overcome osteoporosis. So osteoporosis, it's one of those conditions that, like many chronic illnesses, is definitely continuing to increase in number. And there are a lot of factors for that. And we'll talk about all the causes of osteoporosis today and how we approach it. So there are a lot of new drugs out there for osteoporosis. Some of these, they do build bone. However, some of them have some pretty nasty side effects. And some of them have actually been taken off of the market. So that is an option. But this particular podcast, we're going to be talking about non-drug options, and I'm assuming most of you are interested in non-drug approaches. So even though more and more people are taking vitamin D, more people are taking calcium and using some of these medications, osteoporosis still is a major issue in America and in industrialized nations. So let's talk about why you develop osteoporosis, why we lose bone. So as we age, we lose muscle mass, and that's a condition called sarcopenia. And that muscle is usually replaced by fat. And the more muscle mass we lose, the more inflamed we become. And inflammation is really at the core of bone loss. So osteopenia is a moderate bone loss, and of course osteoporosis is the most severe form. And as we lose muscle mass, we are predisposed to a number of different things, like people are more likely to fall. So you probably know a lot of the elderly, they fall easily and they break a bone. The other connections are going to be depression. So actually, as you lose muscle mass, your mood will suffer. You become more depressed. There's going to be more inflammation. Direct connections with with the loss of bone and increased mortality, meaning that people die really earlier than they should. And at the core of that is the loss of muscle mass. Of course, physical disability. Nursing home admissions earlier than necessary, increased hospitalizations, obesity. You start to lose cartilage, which is in your joints that keeps them healthy and lubricated. And then you'll notice as people age, their gait speed, meaning how fast they walk, starts to get really slow. It gets down to sometimes just a very slow, almost shuffle type movement. So those are all consequences of losing muscle mass as we age. And this is going to be important when we talk about the connection with muscles and bones. So there's a really intricate connection between your bones and your muscles, and that's called the bone muscle unit. So that that particular unit, your bones and your muscles, it shares a lot of different properties. It shares some very important hormones, actually, chemical messengers. And then there are what we call loading connections, meaning when a muscle is loaded, the bone is also loaded as well. And so that forms the bone muscle unit. So it's hormones, it's chemicals, and it's mechanical connections. So whenever a muscle is loaded, from lifting heavy things, you know, movement and stuff like that, the muscle is not the only thing that adapts. It's also the bone. And if you break a bone, the muscles are intimately involved in healing that bone. It's the pulling on the bone, the tension on the bone, and then those other things we talked about, like the hormones and the chemical messengers that aid in healing that bone as quickly as possible. And we would also include cartilage in that as well, since cartilage is in the joints, it's between the bones. And those connections that we talked about are also involved with cartilage. So we have the bones, the joints, the cartilage, and the muscles all connected together in a very intimate way. So as we lose muscle mass, we also lose bone, and that's one of the reasons why people lose bone and develop osteopenia and then osteoporosis. So when we look at the loss of muscle mass, we really should also look at the loss of bone as really just the same condition. So why do people lose muscle as they age? Well, number one, of course, a lot of people stop exercising. They become more sedentary. They gain weight. And being sedentary, not exercising, gaining body fat, that does increase inflammation. And then inflammation causes muscle and bone loss. So that's kind of one of the major core issues. Stress also contributes to the loss of bone and muscle. So we have high cortisol output from the adrenal glands, and cortisol really breaks you down. It's what we call a catabolic hormone if there's too much. Catabolic meaning breaking down, anabolic meaning building up. So if someone's under a lot of chronic stress, they're going to be more catabolic, meaning the muscle is breaking down, bone is breaking down, skin is breaking down, et cetera, et cetera. If someone's anabolic, then they're going to be a lot healthier. They're going to be able to build muscle. They're going to be able to build bone and things like that. So we have kind of this vicious cycle. We have decreased activity as we age, weight gain, loss of muscle mass, more inflammation. Remember, the more body fat you gain, the more inflamed you'll be. And then this starts to affect energy levels and mood, and so people start eating more so-called comfort foods, refined carbohydrates. And so that whole mixture of everything just creates more inflammation and bone loss. So one additional consequence is that this weight gain, this inflammation, this actually inhibits vitamin D absorption and metabolism. And vitamin D is really important for healthy bones. That's a standard recommendation in, you know, that's recommended in conventional and alternative medicine, that vitamin D is really important for healthy bones. But if you can't absorb it and metabolize it because you're overweight and you're inflamed, then you really won't reap the benefits of the vitamin D for healthy bones. So I just want to mention supplements and building bone. Obviously, calcium is at the top of the list, but calcium doesn't really work by itself to build bone. A lot of other things have to be functioning well. And you do have to be physically active. You do have to have low levels of inflammation, for example. The other supplements that are connected to healthy bones are going to be magnesium. And, you know, some will say that magnesium is actually more important than calcium. Vitamin D, we mentioned, essential fatty acids like from fish oil. Vitamin K is very important for bone health. Zinc, copper, manganese, boron, and potassium. So those are all important for bone health. Now, just taking these is not necessarily going to build bone for the reasons I mentioned earlier. So supplements, again, there just aren't really any supplements out there that are really going to make a big difference if you're not doing the other things that are necessary to get your inflammation down and start building muscle and building bone. So let's talk a little bit about what you can do to build muscle. So obviously the most important thing is to get your diet right. And the main thing there is going to be consuming enough protein, because protein is the building block for muscle tissue. And then protein is also important for building bone. So too much protein will actually cause bone loss, and too little protein will cause bone loss. So you have to really hit the sweet spot and get the right balance. And you can go to my website, drhedberg.com, and you'll find a video there and articles on protein and how much protein to eat, so you know exactly how much to eat based on your age and your body composition and your activity level. So obviously the more active you are, the more protein you'll need. But in addition to food providing enough protein, some people need to use like a good whey protein or a pea protein supplement. That can really help to get extra protein in. And then we'll usually have them add a scoop of leucine in a powder form to their protein shake. And that really enhances the anabolic effects of the protein. So leucine is a branched chain amino acid, and it's highly anabolic. So it really helps to build muscle, and it also helps people to recover from exercise. So that's one of the main things we'll recommend for building muscle. And we cannot leave out discussing acid-base balance in the body when we're talking about bone health. So some of you may be aware of the so-called alkaline diet, your pH, acid-alkaline balance. And that is really important for bone health, and here's why. If you're eating a diet that is highly acidic, then you're going to be more what we call catabolic. You're going to be lowering your growth hormone levels. You're going to lose muscle. You're going to lose bone. So when you're eating meals that are highly acidic, your bones will release extra calcium to buffer the extra acids from the food that you're eating. So that's the connection there with acid-alkaline balance and your bone health. The bones are just going to try to buffer all those acids that you're eating. So the other thing we recommend is a diet very rich in alkaline foods. So the main alkaline foods are going to be obviously fruits and vegetables. Those are going to be the most alkaline, all of the many of the plant-based foods. And then the animal-based products and grains, most grains are going to be highly acidic. So meat, dairy, eggs, and all of the gluten-containing grains are going to be very acidic. And then fruits, vegetables, legumes, small amounts of nuts, you know, those are going to be more alkaline. So it's not that the acidic foods are bad, it's just that people are eating too many of them, and you need to be eating about 60 to 80% of your plate should be alkaline foods, and 20 to 40% should be acidic foods. And that's something that is not just a recommendation for people who are concerned about their bone health, but that's kind of a recommendation for everyone. And you know, in our modern Western societies, most people are eating foods that are highly acidic, and so that'll contribute to bone loss and muscle loss. You'll also excrete more magnesium, zinc, and potassium, so you're going to lose those as well if you're eating a highly acidic diet. And again, on my website, I've got a good video on acid-alkaline balance and some good articles on that and some resources. So you'll find those links on my blog on the article called Osteoporosis is the Key to Building Bone, Building Muscle. And that's where I have all the links that I'm talking about in this podcast. So acid-alkaline balance is going to be really important. So again, we have people eat more alkaline foods, and then we have them supplement with magnesium and potassium to help them get more alkaline, to help buffer all the acids, and that helps to prevent bone loss. The other thing is that supplementing with potassium bicarbonate, that's actually been shown in postmenopausal women to increase their growth hormone levels. And growth hormone is really important for building bone and building muscle. And of course, it's important to prevent rapid aging. So you get a lot of benefits there with the potassium bicarbonate, as well as the alkaline diet. So really the most important things you can do to reverse osteoporosis is, number one, you want to be doing some kind of resistance exercise, ideally with weights, bands, machines, for about 2 days a week, 20 to 30 minutes. That's really enough as far as loading the bones, loading that bone muscle unit. So you give your body a reason to build bone. And you want to exercise all of the muscle groups, upper body and lower body. But the big muscles of the lower body and the back are going to have the greatest benefits. So I'm talking about the glutes, the hamstrings, thighs, quadriceps, and the big back muscles. And then I do also recommend focusing on flexibility. So 2 days a week of yoga for about 30 minutes. This will also help with the bone muscle unit, and it'll enhance your flexibility. So those recommendations are just kind of bare minimum. You always want to consult your doctor before beginning any type of exercise program. You want to be sure your heart is ready for that and the rest of the body. So number two is, as I mentioned earlier, eat plenty of protein so that you're able to build muscle and build bone. Now, too many carbohydrates will make you acidic and it'll make you inflamed. So that will contribute to bone loss. So you've got to only eat what we call low glycemic carbohydrates. And these are carbohydrates that really don't have a major impact on your blood sugar. Low glycemic carbohydrates, they're absorbed more slowly. And so they don't spike insulin and create inflammation. So it's called your protein to carbohydrate ratio. You just don't want carbohydrates to be too much higher than protein. They need to be at a moderate or a lower level based on your level of activity and if you want to lose weight. So step number three is going to be keeping your pH in the alkaline range, as we talked about. A diet that is rich in alkaline-forming foods and taking the magnesium. I like magnesium glycinate and the potassium bicarbonate to keep your pH in a healthy range. Number four is you want to make sure that your hormones are in balance. So that begins with your thyroid. So hypothyroidism will lead to increased bone loss. And then hyperthyroidism, too much thyroid, will also contribute to bone loss. So thyroid medication, if the dose is too high, that can contribute to bone loss. So make sure you're getting your thyroid adequately checked. The second aspect is your adrenal hormones. I talked earlier about cortisol being a catabolic hormone, breaking you down. The adrenals also make DHEA, which is a highly anabolic hormone. So if you've been under a lot of chronic stress and you think you have adrenal problems, that is really important to get checked for to be sure that the adrenal hormones are not contributing to the bone loss. If those are out of balance, that will create more inflammation and, of course, more bone loss. And then lastly is your sex hormones, progesterone, estrogen, and testosterone. So progesterone is really important for building bone. Estrogen is really important for maintaining the quality of the bone, the health of the bone. And then testosterone is really important for making sure the bone is really hard and rigid. So those are how those three hormones connect with healthy bones. So if any of those are low, then your bones will suffer. And if you're postmenopausal, usually your progesterone and your estrogen will be quite low. And so some women do like to use bioidentical hormone replacement, some progesterone, a little bit of estrogen. And then if their testosterone is really, really low, then they might use a little bit of that as well. But progesterone is really the heavy hitter, so to speak, because that does help to build bone. And so we will use progesterone, natural progesterone, sometimes a little bit of estrogen. And then we can usually get testosterone up through other means, like with zinc and making sure the patient is just eating a highly anabolic diet and lifting weights or resistance exercise, bands, machines. Anything that's going to build muscle is going to help increase testosterone levels. So be sure that your sex hormones are in balance. Otherwise, it'll be very difficult to build bone. And that's why once you become postmenopausal, it does become very difficult to build bone because those hormone levels are so low. And then lastly, I do recommend vitamin D supplementation, ideally a product that also contains vitamin K, because vitamin K is also really important for bone health, and it's important for vitamin D metabolism. So you will need that, the D and the K, if you want to maintain healthy bones. But remember I mentioned earlier, if you're really overweight and you're inflamed and you have digestive problems, then you may not really absorb and utilize the vitamin D very well. So those are kind of the top five things to think about: the exercise, the protein, the pH, all of your hormones, thyroid, adrenal, sex hormones, and then vitamin D. Now, there are a variety of bone-building supplements out there that kind of contain a lot of these things that we've talked about. They have the calcium, magnesium, D, K, boron, zinc, copper, manganese, and things like that. And those can be helpful. Just don't expect any real miracles or, you know, big changes in your bone health just taking a supplement like that. The most important thing is going to be identifying the sources of inflammation. And so let's just talk a little bit about that, about the main causes of inflammation. So number one is going to be any type of chronic infection. So if you have a dental infection, like a bad root canal, that creates inflammation. Any kind of chronic infection in your gut, like a parasite, a bacterial, or yeast overgrowth, that creates inflammation. Food sensitivities like gluten or dairy, those tend to be big ones. Eggs can be kind of common. Those types of food sensitivities will create inflammation and bone loss. And so I do want to mention dairy because that's kind of controversial. But the studies on dairy show that people who consume a lot of dairy actually have greater rates of fractures. So the problem with dairy is that it's very high in phosphorus, even though it has a lot of calcium. And so there's a really intricate balance in your body between calcium and phosphorus in the blood. So if you eat dairy, which is much, much higher in phosphorus than calcium, that gets into the bloodstream. And so you have high amounts of phosphorus, moderate amounts of calcium. And so your body immediately tries to regulate that. So it releases calcium from the bones to balance out the high phosphorus. And so that's one of the mechanisms as to why dairy is not necessarily all that great for your bones. Now, there is one exception to that. There is research that shows dairy products that are cultured actually don't have that negative effect on bones. And so that would be yogurt, kefir, film yolk, cottage cheese, and some of the artisan cheeses. These products have bacteria in them, and that changes the way your body responds to the dairy. It changes the way it's digested, absorbed, and assimilated. And so those types of products don't have the same negative effects on the bones as, say, just drinking a glass of milk, for example, which may actually cause a lot of problems, or eating too much cheese. So if you're going to eat dairy and you're concerned about your bones, make sure it has bacteria in it and it's cultured, like the things that I mentioned. Okay, physical stress, that can create inflammation, meaning just too much exercise. So if you're overtraining, then you can actually break your body down, make you more inflamed, increases cortisol levels. Psychological stress is a big cause of inflammation. So your trauma history, if you've had major traumas as a child or as an adult, like physical traumas, emotional traumas, verbal abuse, physical abuse, divorces, death of a loved one, etc., etc., this has actually been shown to increase inflammation levels. And if these things happen when you were a kid, it's actually been shown that you'll be a lot more inflamed as an adult. So there may be some work that needs to be done, some therapy, some counseling to deal with these past psychological traumatic events, or to deal with any ongoing psychological stressors like relationship stress, work stress, kids, things like that. Insulin resistance is a big causer of inflammation. So insulin resistance basically means that your body is not able to metabolize carbohydrates the way that it used to. So glucose levels in your blood are not really able to get into your muscle tissue the way that it should and be metabolized and burned for energy. And that creates a lot of inflammation, and that'll lead to more bone loss. The other thing about insulin resistance is that you gain more body fat if you're insulin resistant, and you lose muscle mass, all of which will contribute to poor bone health. Okay, so that's a good overall picture of osteoporosis, what you need to be thinking about. Again, I want to reiterate the fact that there really aren't any magic supplements out there. As usual with any condition, it requires a really detailed look at the overall patient, looking at different areas that may be there, may be missing, the exercise aspects, the diet, the stress, the hormones, supplements that are actually necessary, and things like that to really get good results. So I hope that was helpful. Check out drhedberg.com for the osteoporosis article, and you'll get all the links to all the videos and the other articles that I mentioned. So take care. This is Dr. Hedberg. Thanks for tuning into the Dr. Hedberg Show. Please share the episodes with anyone who might be interested, and I'll talk to you next time. Take care.